Chapter 2
Edward didn't bother putting the phone back on its cradle. He dropped it immediately, leaving it to swing gently from its cord as he took off towards the front door. He yelled back over his shoulder to let Al know he was going. Out! Before bursting out onto the street. He thought he remembered the way to Mustang's place. East, maybe? So he didn't bother to stop and make sure, because if he hadn't knocked on Mustang's door in half an hour, he had a feeling that this whole thing was going to be way worse for Ed. His feet pounded across the cobblestone and concrete as he darted between halos of light from the street lamps, heart beating in time to the pattern of his footsteps. Despite the pulse of his body, Ed's mind remained remarkably clear. Clear enough to think about all of this, to imagine what might be lying in wait for him. He had been doing such a damn good job of not thinking about this, not mulling it over or making plans or any of those things, that a familiar shiver of nervousness spread through his stomach as he allowed his mind to wander across it for the first time. He suspected somehow that what Mustang had done last time was only the tip of a very large iceberg, and if he let himself go underwater, he'd see the monster he had gotten himself wrapped up in. Ed wanted to say that he didn't trust the man with such a huge unknown, didn't trust the man with this kind of power, but it would have been a lie. If he didn't, he never would have made that call. That was part of the point, wasn't it? The trust really was there, behind everything. Ed remembered their first encounter down to the last detail. He didn't like that he did, and maybe he shouldn't, but he couldn't forget. He remembered the shame of it, that he had been reduced to something so pathetic, and that he liked it. Fuck. But he also remembered that the other man had only ever been encouraging with regards to their activities, even comforting. Mustang had seemed remarkably unapologetic about every sick, twisted thing they had done that evening. Almost proud. The realization that he was bolting across the city at midnight just to have someone hurt him and tell him what to do burned shame through Ed's chest. But none of that shame was Roy Mustang's doing. He couldn't help but wonder what that meant. Did it mean anything at all? What was all of this, anyway? Not normal, for damn sure. Fantasies flickered by in his mind, one after another in rapid succession, as he drew nearer to Mustang's house. And he felt his heart beat double time for just a second. Had Roy been having the same thoughts, or was Ed too far below his notice for this to ever really be a mutual need? What did he even want this to be? What did either of them want this to be? Well, if there was going to be a need of any kind involved, Ed damn well didn't want it to be one-sided. He wasn't going to be begging for Mustang's goddamn favors. A sudden shiver struck him at that thought, followed by the familiar pooling of heat low in his stomach. His face pulled into a frown. Edward Elric wasn't anyone's dog. Not anymore. He just hoped this wasn't one more thing he had to be ashamed of. He turned the last corner onto Roy Mustang's street and concentrated on thinking nothing at all. Roy had let himself plan for this moment, bit by bit. In quiet evening moments when the day had been long and hard and the pressures of military life hung too heavily on him, every day he bid down a challenge to a man of higher rank. Every day he spent tactfully dancing around important issues. Every day he had to smile and flatter a man who didn't deserve anything better than a jail cell. Major General Roy Mustang had come home, and he had planned. He hadn't known if any of it would be more than a daydream, but in those moments of idle hope, he had made preparations. Several transmutation circles for various materials lay side by side on his coffee table, along with a piece of chalk and a few other implements, in case he should get the urge. He almost wished that he hadn't prepared it all so well, because collecting the material had taken him all of 10 minutes. And for the past 20, the only thing he had been able to do was sit in his armchair, anticipation stretching every twitch of the clock to an hour. Roy Mustang was usually a very patient man, but anticipation hummed in his blood, aided by the warmth of the scotch. A rap from the other side of the door interrupted his wandering thoughts. The sound, he noted, of metal on wood. Unmistakable. A glance at the clock told him that it had been barely over 30 minutes. Full Metal had been unexpectedly fast, though he didn't know why that surprised him. But it had taken just long enough. Roy allowed himself a brief satisfaction at the victory. The punishment for his tardiness would be sweet. He stood up slowly and schooled his expression into one of calm indifference as he straightened his uniform. He picked up a circle from the coffee table, then another, considering, and folded them into his breast pocket. Another rap at the door. Roy gave a huff of irritation at the other's impatience, strode over and swung the door open. Sure enough, there in front of him stood Ed, looking more disheveled than usual. Edward Elric, in his old black sleeveless shirt that now clung to his adult musculature too tightly to be strictly decent, and the practically painted-on leather pants that had never been decent. He wore his brown jacket open over both of them, which, whether intentionally or not, let Roy see exactly what he was getting. Strands of his golden hair clung damp to the back of his head, his ponytail in disarray. He was flushed and panting, and he was standing on Roy's doorstep.
"I wasn't expecting you so soon, Full Metal,"
Roy said, keeping his voice admirably calm. He didn't move out of the doorway.
"Yeah, well, you said a half hour, so I ran here," Ed replied, chest heaving.
He glanced over Roy's shoulders warily. The general raised an eyebrow. Their houses were miles apart. The journey would normally have taken a good hour and a half. Judging from the younger man's state, he guessed that the man hadn't bothered with walking. The thought that Full Metal would ever be so desperate sent blood shooting all the way from Roy's brain to more important parts, eager to provide what the other man needed.
"Did I make it in time? I better have fucking made it in time," Edward said, shoulders hunched as he put a gloved hand out to support himself on the doorframe.
"Unfortunately for you, no," Roy said, putting on the full force of his authority into his voice.
He pulled a transmutation circle out of his breast pocket and pushed it to Ed's chest. The blonde's eyes went wide, but before he could do anything, the circle had crackled to life, turning Edward's shirt and jacket into ropes that snaked around his arms like living things. They pinned his limbs together behind his back, leaving him bound from his wrist to his upper arm, and pulled his shoulders back sharply. His sculpted chest was gloriously exposed.
"What the hell?"
Edward made to jump back, but Roy reached out to grab the other man's ponytail at its base, stopping him before he could move. Ed yelped gratifyingly as Roy yanked the blonde head down, but it didn't halt the man in his tirade.
"What the fuck did you do to my shirt? What the hell do you think you're doing jumping me without warning like that? I'm outside, for God's sake. It's cold and people can see me."
"Keep your mouth shut," Roy snapped, drawing himself up to his full height. "You are to address me as sir, and I will allow you to come inside when you have properly apologized for your lateness and insubordination."
He glanced down to the other man's body, taking in the prominent collarbones and the ribs he could have reached out and plucked, the long, raw pink cut on his side. Were those stitches in it? It hadn't been healed for long. But it had been for longer, he noticed, than the shallow cut to Full Metal's cheek. He filed those things away in his brain under "to be considered at a later date," and returned to the task at hand.
"What the hell? You like it in public, too? What did you do to end up this fucked up? Let me go!"
The tree-lined street in front of Roy seemed to be empty except for the lamps that lit it from end to end, but it hardly bothered him. Someone could walk by at any time, and the possibility of it was electric on his skin.
"Chalk is inside, above the fireplace like it was last time. If you want it, go get it,"
Roy said. He leaned in close, then yanked the blonde around by his hair until he was facing the street. The general pressed the links of their bodies together, his front to Ed's back,
and pulled the man's head back and down at a painful angle. Roy inclined his head forward, so his breath heated the shell of Full Metal's ear.
But we both know you aren't going to do that. You want this. You were so desperate that you ran halfway across the city, past midnight, just to hear your CEO tell you what to do.
Hedward shivered. His eyes flicked wildly from side to side, either looking for an exit strategy or to see if anyone was watching. The lights in the house across the street were still on. The man stared for a moment at the neighbor's front windows, his breath catching. "Can we... inside?" Edward asked, choked.
"We will go inside when you are compliant. I told you. Apologize to me. Then, I want to hear you beg."
Full Metal shivered against him, and the feeling set fire to Roy's skin. He breathed slowly into Edward's ear and then gave a gentle nip, nothing more than a tease. He noted with pride that the younger man's leather pants seemed to be significantly tighter in front than they had been 30 seconds ago.
"Or maybe,"
Roy purred, sliding his unoccupied hand around the other man's stomach, tracing over hard muscles with evident interest.
"Maybe I won't take you inside at all. You seem to be enjoying it out here."
He chuckled and brushed his hand lower, just for an instant. Ed breathed in sharply, turning a deep, beautiful red. Roy brushed his lips for just an instant against the curve of the other man's neck, then did the same further up in soft, teasing touches until he reached the man's ear again.
"It's funny that you say I'm the exhibitionist. I'm not the one who's hard,"
he said, and cupped the evidence just as he bit down in the other's ear. Edward made a small noise that sounded like a half sob.
You...
"Yes, Full Metal?"
The tent in the other man's pants felt almost painfully hard now, and Roy stroked it softly, teasing. The man was silent for another moment, jaw working around some words.
I'm sorry for being late, sir. Just... please... let me go inside."
It wasn't the most enthusiastic begging Roy had ever heard. But then, there would be plenty of time for that later. He released the man's crotch with only a faint disappointment.
"Very well, then. You have done as I ask, so I will reward you," he said,
then pulled the other man backwards to the doorway. Ed let out a hard breath and immediately broke out in goosebumps as they hit the mass of warm air inside Roy's house. Like the blonde's body had only just realized how cold he was. Roy ran a gloved hand up and down the other's arm, warming him. Then, without warning, he pulled the other transmutation circle from his pocket and pressed it to the hard plane of Edward's leather-clad chest. The man jumped in surprise, but couldn't pull away in time to escape the reaction. Roy almost mourned the disappearance of the skin-tight pants as they transformed into bindings, tying Edward's legs together just above his knees. Ed yelped in indignation and struggled against his bonds. Roy put an arm around Ed's neck, holding him in place as he squirmed and tried to ignore the feeling of that body sliding and rubbing against his own.
"You know, you don't have to pretend that you don't like this," Roy said into Ed's ear. "There's nobody to fool, and nobody to impress. Just me."
He paused.
"And I like this."
The blonde froze for a moment. Then he gave one last squirm, just to be stubborn, and let himself sag forward. "You better not have ruined those pants," Ed said half-heartedly. Roy smirked and let go of Ed's hair, sliding the back of his hand down the man's neck. The blonde inhaled sharply, a reaction to remember for later, then traced down his back and around his stomach again. Roy drew one finger along the waistband to the younger man's boxers. Ed's breath hitched beautifully, and then Roy shoved the fingers of his other hand into the other's shoulder, right under the metal of the automail port, where it would hurt. The man gasped hard and thick.
Is this what you want, then?
Roy asked, letting one finger dip down past the waistband of the boxers. This didn't have to be sexual. It really didn't. But God, he wanted it to be. Wanted Edward to want it, too. Edward made a small noise.
What was that, Full Metal? You're going to have to speak up.
Roy said, leaning forward again so his lips brushed against Ed's ear.
I said yes. I want this, Edward said, eyes squeezed tightly shut, an appealing flush beginning to appear on his cheeks.
Roy smiled. You want me to touch you?
Yes.
Do you want me to hurt you?
Yes.
Ed sounded mortified, halfway to crying. Roy hissed in a sharp breath as his cock began to stir.
Do you want to come all over yourself while I watch?
Yes, you bastard, yes,
he sobbed. And Roy couldn't fight his arousal any longer. He gave the other man a hard smack to the side and was rewarded by a low groan that Roy could feel all through his body. Then Roy took a few steps forward, pushing the other man in front of him. Unprepared and bound at the knees, the blonde stumbled. And when he did, Roy slammed him down onto the couch. He grabbed Ed's shoulders again, and then turned him so he was lying on his back on top of his bound arms. Roy could see sweat beating on Ed's forehead. From nervousness or excitement, he couldn't tell, though it hardly mattered, as he writhed there on the couch, struggling against his restraints. Roy stepped back for a moment to admire the sight. But as he watched, he saw Ed go still, forcing his breathing even. The man took a deep breath, then closed his eyes. And when he let it out, he looked like a different man. This Edward was calmer, more confident. He had likely been planning to act this way the whole time, until Roy had startled him out of his assurance. Ed had gathered himself up again, started putting himself back together.
And that just wouldn't do.
He would have to find other ways to surprise the man.
So, what are you going to do to me, you bastard?
Huh? He said, meeting Roy's eyes, unflinching.
Roy smirked.
Cheeky little shit.
And began to walk over to where the other man's head lay on the couch.
Come on, give it your best shot.
There isn't anything you could...
Roy cut him off by picking up a heavy combat boot and settling it down on Ed's throat, pressing down just enough.
What the hell?
Edward's gasp was hoarse and strained, voice made harsher by the pressure. The slow asphyxiation.
You're gonna kill me, you... I can't... I...
Chalks above the fireplace like last time, Roy said, increasing the pressure. You can even ask me for it. I'll give it to you. But then... You'll go home. Unfulfilled.
Ed gasped, each breath heavy as a weight, but didn't, or couldn't, say any more. As his face began to redden, Roy released the pressure all at once, then put his foot back down on the floor. The blonde inhaled greedily between violent coughs, like a drowning man coming to the surface.
I thought you said there wasn't anything I could do that you couldn't handle,
Roy said conversationally, as Edward's breathing normalized.
But you know, maybe we both overestimated you. Maybe you can't handle what I have planned.
Fuck you, you son of a bitch. I can take anything your pansy ass can dish out.
He snapped between gasps, struggling against his restraints just to prove a point. Roy kicked him in the side, hard, and Edward moaned.
Is that so?
Roy asked, harder every second, and giddy from the power rush.
Well, we'll just see about that, won't we?
He asked, walking over to the curtains that covered the wall-length windows to either side of his fireplace. He drew them open quickly, one after the other, so that the windows were bare and the scene in Roy's living room perfectly visible to any watchers. With the light on inside, if someone walked by, the evening's activities would be clear and bright as a cinema picture.
Roy hoped someone would.
What? He screeched, struggling to sit up. I thought we were going to do this where nobody was watching.
This time he looked properly panicked.
Stop that,
Roy snapped.
The voice froze the other man in place.
You're not going anywhere.
Apparently that last lesson I gave you didn't take, he said, folding his hands behind his back. He shook his head.
I've been hearing rumors about you, you know. It seems you've taken it upon yourself to relieve Central of its seedy underbelly, wandering the streets late at night, picking fights with muggers and other criminals. Risky, Full Metal. Stupidly risky.
How the hell did you know about that?
Don't interrupt me, Full Metal. Of course I know. Did you forget that I know everything about what you do?
Roy walked over to the mantel and plucked the piece of chalk from where it lay between the clock and the bookend. He walked over to the couch and set it down on the coffee table, within easy reach. I thought that stopped when I left.
Of course it didn't, Full Metal. Apparently, I have to be in control of everything you do because you're just not capable of regulating yourself. What kind of commanding officer would I be if I let you go off and get in trouble without at least keeping tabs on you?
You patronizing bastard! His voice held edges of real fury. Roy smirked.
Now, Edward, is that any way to speak to me?
With that, Roy lifted the blonde up and flipped the man over his lap, like he did last time, so that Edward's tight ass was situated right in front of him, and a hard heat dug right between Roy's legs. Roy hit him on the ass hard and purred.
Good. You're doing well. Very well.
He hit Ed again, and the man arched his back, moaning wantonly.
But you know, being like this, wanting me to take control, it's nothing to be ashamed of, he said,
laying a blow on the backs of the boy's thighs.
You get off on it, on being completely helpless in the face of my whims, and letting someone else take care of everything you need for once, don't you?
A sudden fury flashed through Edward's expression. Nobody has to take care of me but me, he hissed.
Oh,
Roy asked, yanking the blonde hair back, holding it there.
Well, you clearly can't do this for yourself, can you?
He hit the other man on the lower back again, intensely aware of the press of Ed's erection.
And you've tried. You've done stupid things to try to keep control. But you just can't take care of it yourself, can you?
Ed closed his eyes and took a hissed breath as Roy's hand caressed his rear, and then slipped downward between his legs, fondling his balls through the thin cloth of his boxers. The older man squeezed just a little, and then released both hands. Edward whimpered at the loss as his head fell forward onto the couch. I can take care of myself, the younger man said after a moment, looking dazed but wrenching the words out of his mouth in defiance.
Roy smirked. Can you?
He asked. Then picked the other man up again, stood, and deposited him on the couch unceremoniously. Edward's look of confusion was nothing short of adorable. Where are you going? I thought...
If you can take care of yourself, then you should be able to take responsibility for your actions, and take your punishments like an adult,
he said, the voice of reasoned authority.
Can you manage that?
Edward took a deep breath and closed his eyes. There was a silence between the two figures for a moment. Then Ed exhaled, and when he opened his eyes, there was a harder look in them. More certain.
I told you, you shit. I can handle anything you can dish out, he said,
returning Roy's smirk with a look of challenge. Of pride. That pride had no place on the face of a man with such a wanton body. His hips made small thrusts up to the air, begging for relief where the man himself would not. Roy stiffened at the sight, feeling a sudden lack of oxygen as a sharp twinge reminded him of his rock-hard erection. Edward did not miss the older man's reaction. He stilled for a moment, watched the other man with obvious interest. Roy could almost see the gears spinning furiously behind that golden gaze. Neither of them moved for just a moment, just long enough for Edward to decide that he was going to try it again.
He bucked his hips up into the air, deliberately this time. But instead of letting his eyes fall closed like he so often did, he met Roy's intense stare with one to match it. As he did, his lips parted and he moaned, like a fucking slut. Roy dragged in a breath and closed his eyes to shut out the image, to keep some measure of control over himself. When he opened them again, he saw Edward grinning at him sharply, and Roy gave a silent curse.
Aha, I get it now. That's your secret, isn't it, Colonel? You like this just as much as I do, the man said, looking bright and smugly satisfied. You need this. You like watching me, hearing me.
He gave his bottom lip a long, slow lick. Roy tried to reply, but found himself temporarily stripped of speech. Now, Mustang, Edward said with another slow thrust and another. If you get back down here and hit me hard. I promise I'll make noises like you've never heard. I'll call you anything. I'll scream for you, sir, he said, never letting his pointed smirk falter. That's what you want, isn't it? The blonde looked so intensely sure of himself that Roy briefly wondered if this was even the same man from a few minutes ago. Fucking clever kid. Always trying to flip the tables. Only he could take something that ought to have been a sign of submission and turn it into a power card. Roy's cock strained against his pants. He would not touch himself. He was better than that. Instead, he drew himself up to his full height and took a step closer so that he towered over the younger man. Oh, Roy said, voice rumbling and right on the verge of anger.
Do you think you found a way to control me? Is that what this is?
He asked, and shoved the man back over so that he lay flat on his stomach. In that brief flash before his face turned away, he saw Edward grin like he'd won. Doubtless the man was expecting something quite different than what he was going to get. Roy didn't raise a hand to hit him like he expected, but instead took the chalk he had picked up earlier and shoved it into the tiny space between Edward's wrists and his rope bindings. Ed made a small noise and began to grind himself experimentally against the couch cushions.
I guess you think you're a serious player now. Well then, I'm going to treat you like one.
Roy growled and dragged a hand down over Edward's ass and the back of his thighs, feeling every muscle through the nearly paper-thin boxers. He stopped around the edge of the automail port, teasing gently at the scar tissue there.
Wait, what the hell?
It would take very little struggle for you to get that chalk. You can stop this whenever you like,
Roy said, bending over to examine the complex machinery of the other man's metal leg. It really was a work of art, far beyond anything that Roy would be able to understand. But he could manage this one small thing.
You know you won't, though. You wouldn't even like this if you were the one in control, he said.
With that, he put his thumbs on the latches at the top of the automail and waited there for Edward's recognition.
What the fuck do you think you're doing?
Ed shrieked, writhing enough that holding him down became difficult.
The automail is off fucking limits.
Is it?
Roy asked conversationally.
You have your chalk. If you don't want this, use it.
There was a long moment of silence. Ed squeezed his eyes shut, and Roy's smile sharpened as the moment turned to several. And Ed hadn't moved.
I thought so,
Roy purred, and shoved the latches apart until the metal limb simply came off in his hands. Roy groaned at the sight, at how very helpless the younger man looked, how small. Ed panted, mouth open, chest heaving, and Roy's need ached. He wanted, God, so many things. But he could have patience. The general put his urges away for the moment and deposited the limb on the coffee table, then traced his hands back up the blonde's legs, stopping briefly to give Ed a gentle smack on the ass for his own satisfaction.
You don't own this game, Full Metal. I do,
he said,
voice deep and hard. His hand skated up to Ed's shoulders and then over to his metal one.
You tried to take control from me, you little shit. Because you did that, I'm taking it away from you entirely. Every last bit of control, every scrap of dignity and power you ever thought you had is mine now.
He said as he found the automail's arm latches and pulled. The arm dangled uselessly from the ropes that had been holding his arms together. Roy yanked the metal arm out from the bindings, then rolled Ed over so he could see the man's face.
Those hurt to put back in, you son of a bitch, Edward hissed, kicking up off the couch like he was actually trying to escape.
Roy reminded himself that if the other man really was trying to get away, there was always the chalk.
I thought you liked painful metal. I thought that's why you were here.
That shut Ed up. He stared at the other man for a moment, like he was considering. His look of panic calmed some, and after a moment, Roy saw the blonde's mouth fall open slightly as he began to pant. Roy could almost feel the adrenaline coming off the younger man in waves. He looked so much smaller without his metal limbs. The general took the transmutation circle from earlier back out of his pocket and pressed it to Ed's bindings. In a flash of blue light, they turned to clothes again, lying neatly next to him. Ed rolled over and sat up, giving Roy a confused look. For just a second, his eyes flickered over to the automail limbs like he was starved for them, for what they represented. Roy took a step back and folded his hands behind him. Colonel?
It's General Mustang or Sir to a brat like you.
No, I want you to take off your remaining clothing.
Ed went rigid at that.
And I want you to get that insubordinate mouth of yours on my cock. I want you to suck me off. Is that a clear enough order for you, Full Metal?
Roy asked, voice pressing, utterly present in the basest way. Ed's eyes went wide with shock. Roy himself didn't move. Everything depended on this next moment. Full Metal could easily take his limbs back and leave, or worse. Instead, he swung his one remaining leg over the edge of the couch and stared at the older man, panting. After a moment, Roy spoke.
Well, Full Metal?
He heard a breath, then a whisper.
Yes, sir,
said Edward Elric, looking beautiful and expectant and, for once in his life, perfectly vulnerable. Roy groaned so deep it was almost a growl, and as if the memory of those words alone wouldn't have been enough to keep him hard for years, Ed began to shimmy out of his boxers. By God, did the man have a beautiful body. Even though his collarbones cast too much of a shadow to be perfectly healthy, he had tight, solid muscle on every inch of his frame, decorated by scars of 100 victories. Roy was reminded once again of how Ed could destroy him if he ever wanted to. Finally, the man's cock sprang free of his boxers, red and flushed with want, and the cloth pooled around his feet. Roy stood perhaps 5 feet away and examined his prize. After a moment, Ed asked,
"Are you going to come here, or..."
"Crawl to me."
Roy's voice was a terrible rumble.
"I want you on your knees for me."
Roy could see the flutter of the pulse in Ed's neck as it hammered through him. The blonde made a needy noise, and then, wonder of wonders, got down on his hands and knees. Then, inside of Roy Mustang and anyone else who cared to look, he fucking crawled over to the general to kneel, unbalanced, in front of his commanding officer. Mouth not 2 inches from the man's clothed erection. Roy extended a hand to grip Ed on the shoulder, hard, to steady him. Also, Roy admitted silently, to steady himself. The sight of Edward kneeling in front of him, bright red all over, confused and ashamed but rock hard regardless, nearly did him in right then. The older man groaned, wondering how long this was going to last.
"Are you waiting for a written invitation?"
Roy asked huskily, and drew his hand through the other man's hair until the hair tie lay discarded on the ground.
A sheet of golden hair cascaded around Ed's face, framing the scene.
No, sir, Full Metal said, and went for the button on Roy's uniform pants.
Roy's eyes slid half shut as he watched the younger man pull the zip down and pause, unsure, then take his remaining hand and work Roy's cock free of the cloth. The man paused again then, looking at it with a combination of interest and trepidation, like the virgin he so obviously was. Then slowly, carefully, he drew his mouth closer and licked. Roy's world could have ended right then, and he never would have noticed. His eyes fell closed without his permission as he tried to suppress the moan that threatened. He tangled his hand in Full Metal's hair, pulling at it just enough that it would hurt.
Yes, that's it, Roy growled, sliding his eyes back open and feeling in control for just that one moment.
But that was before Edward took the head of his cock into that perfect mouth and gave it an experimental suck. It tore a noise from him, helpless to stop it. Roy could almost feel eyes on them from the window. Like to imagine he could. Perhaps he was imagining it. But either way, the thought lit him up from the inside, as a certain tongue lit him up from the outside.
Deeper,
he ordered, to interrupt that train of thought.
I want you to take it all. Moan like the only thing you've ever wanted was my cock,
he said. And with that, he dug two fingers into the wires of the bare automail port. It had to hurt because Full Metal's eyes rolled into the back of his head, and he whimpered like a broken thing. He took the older man's whole cock into his mouth, then. Roy felt stars at the base of his spine, and fuck, this was going to be over too soon. The general dug his fingers deeper into the spot and focused more on the feeling of power than on the feeling of Ed's clumsy but eager tongue tasting his slit, licking hot stripes from the base to the tip of his shaft, swirling it around the head like he had done this before, like he had been preparing for it. The image of Edward in bed playing with himself, teasing his cock until he strained just to keep himself still, and all of it done with Roy's pleasure in mind, was enough to break the last of the general's control.
Back onto the couch, he growled.
Ed looked back up at him, surprised and maybe a little hurt. Was I that bad? He asked, tone giving everything away. Roy released his death grip on Ed's hair just for a moment and petted him gently. Ed closed his eyes and leaned into the caress.
No, you did a very good job, Roy said, tucking one strand of hair behind the other man's ear,
allowing himself a small smile at the look of bliss.
Believe me when I say that.
With that, Roy slipped his persona back on again. He bent down and picked the other man up in one smooth motion, ignoring the mortification on Ed's face, and deposited him on the couch face up.
I don't need to tie you up this time, do I?
Roy purred, loving the fact that Ed was so under his control that he didn't need to physically bind the other man to make him submit. He caressed Edward's naked stomach and chest, enjoying the way his touch brought out needy little noises.
You're as helpless as you're ever going to be in your life, aren't you?
Ed shivered and whimpered, taking his hand down to brush against his own cock. Roy slapped it away.
You will not touch yourself or give yourself relief in any way. Your pain and your pleasure are both dependent on me. Do you understand?
Edward stared at the other man and brought his hand back down anyway, fisting it around his cock, pumping once. Twice. Roy picked up the proper transmutation circle and pressed it to the couch. The patterned fabric rose up in ropes and twisted around the blonde's one remaining arm and jerked it tightly downwards, binding it to the furniture in an instant. Shit, Ed said, looking less concerned about the fact that his arm was tied down than the fact that he had no relief. Not even any touch at all on any part of him that most needed it. Roy straightened, then turned and walked towards the kitchen without a word. Hey, wait, where are you going? Roy didn't answer, reveling in the need apparent in that voice. You're not just going to leave me here, are you? After all that? Roy spun back around.
Well, I was considering it, given the fact that you so blatantly and repeatedly disobeyed my orders.
Roy rounded the corner of the couch again and gave Full Metal a hard stare.
Tell me why I shouldn't.
Ed fixed him with a pleading, begging look. And he whimpered like an animal. After a moment, he managed, because I want this so much. I haven't learned my lesson yet, Full Metal said, eyes closed. Teach me what it means to obey you, sir. I want you to show me.
Roy smiled.
How could I refuse when you ask so nicely?
He bent over the man's prone form and hit Edward on the cheek. There where he lay. The man gave a heated gasp.
Do you like that?
Roy asked, caressing the red mark. He nodded. Roy took this as an opportunity to make use of one of the other implements on his coffee table. The riding crop sat comfortably in his hand.
You're learning very well. Such a good subordinate. It's no wonder you can't stand not being told what to do.
Roy closed the fist around his own cock, just for a moment's relief.
Now, the question is slightly different than it was earlier,
he said, bending over the blonde's body.
Now, the question is, how much reward do you think you can handle?
He asked, smirk heavy. Edward's eyes widened.
You're not thinking about...
Don't ask questions, Full Metal,
he rumbled, ghosting the crop down the other's leg. Then he jabbed the implement straight into the sensitive jumble of nerve wires in the automail port. Ed couldn't keep back a heavy noise as he writhed, eyes squeezed shut in bliss.
You've done well,
Roy said, running a gloved finger over the hard muscle in the other man's stomach.
Now kneel. Get on all fours like a dog. I'm going to prepare you for what's coming next.
Roy activated the circle on the couch again to remove the ropes that tied Ed's arm. The man did as asked without question. The couch cushion sank down under his weight, just enough that the port above his knee rested on the fabric as well. After a moment of struggling for balance, with his one arm he braced himself on the couch with his forearm as best he could, but his position was still so very precarious. That left him with his forehead pressed to the back of his arm and his ass sticking up in the air, his cock jutting out, begging for some kind of relief. Roy watched, eyes dark and heavy, just allowing himself to take in the sight. Edward must have realized just what he looked like as well, because he flushed a deep red and turned his face towards the back of the couch. It might have been the most beautiful thing that Roy had ever seen. He stepped forward. The riding crop sliced through the air and hit Edward on his ass, bleeding a high whimper from him. Another crack and Roy left a welt on the back of Full Metal's thighs. Then, without warning, went for the man's cock. He ran a rough gloved thumb over the slit, just hard enough to give pain with his pleasure. Ed drew in a ragged breath and his whole body jerked forward.
Oh, you like that, do you?
Roy asked, and the riding crop hit Ed's upper back. His other hand stroked the man's erection again. Roy would not touch himself. This would end altogether too soon if he did. He refused to give in to his baser instincts. He whipped the crop down onto Ed's back again, then again, and again, then lower, and after a brief pause caressed the man's balls gently with a leather tip.
I love seeing you like this,
Roy said, voice coming out huskier than he'd expected.
So gorgeous and so powerless.
He stroked the other man's side, the heat of it searing even through his gloves.
Look at me,
he ordered, and after a moment, Ed did. His expression had lost the embarrassment, the emotion covered up by an insistent need, a dizzy sort of look. He made a noise like sobbing as Roy gave his cock a single, long stroke from tip to base, then stopped.
Tell me what you want.
Ed looked at him, absolutely at Roy's mercy, and said, Please let me come now, sir. Ed whimpered, squeezing his eyes shut. That was it. Those were the words Roy needed to hear.
On your back,
he growled, and Ed flipped over without a second thought, looking young and vulnerable and hopeful because now Roy was going to fix all of the world's problems at once. The general turned to set the crap down on the coffee table, then picked up the automail limbs and turned back. Hadward stared, eyes hungry at them. Those symbols of his strength, his independence. But he did not reach for them. His eyes looked up to Roy's face. He knew what the general was planning to do. Ed wet his lips with a slow stroke of his tongue, then said, "Please do it. I want you to do it." His words were so needy and desperate that Roy couldn't have resisted even if he had wanted to. He knelt down by Ed's side, put the automail down beside him, and stroked his hair gently. Then he murmured,
"My intention is to reward you now. You have done well."
He paused.
"I won't hold it against you if this isn't what you want. Are you certain? I will make you come one way or another."
Edward's gaze caught him, those golden eyes hot on his, and the man nodded. Roy wasted no time in lining up the automail with the man's ports. He grabbed Edward's hand and placed it on the metal of his own shoulder, while Roy kept one hand on the shin, the other one tracing around Ed's most sensitive places.
"Push it in when I tell you to," he said.
Edward whimpered, squeezing his eyes shut, and nodded.
"All right. Now,"
Roy said, and pushed the automail leg back up into place just as Edward did the same to his arm. And Roy made one hard stroke down the shaft of Edward's cock. Full Metal's eyes flew open. "Oh, fuck," he wailed. And with horrible, wonderful little noises, he was coming hard, back arching off the couch as he spasmed, jerked, thrust into Roy's hand, face contorted into an expression that might have been bliss. The man squeezed his eyes shut, and Roy saw that he had clenched his jaw so tightly that the muscle of his neck stood out in unnecessary relief. His erection hadn't flagged at all, so Roy began to stroke again, slow and firm. Edward moaned ruttishly, pushing into the tightness, and the general reached a hand down to fondle his balls, teasing, testing, then squeezing them gently. Ed began to whimper in earnest, noises uncontrolled and uncontrollable. "Ah, General," he sobbed as he fucked Roy's hand from below. It was Roy's turn to groan this time, as adrenaline coursed through him like he hadn't felt in years. And he nearly came without being touched like a fucking teenager, as Edward's moans reached fever pitch, and those golden eyes locked on him. And the man came, again, all over his stomach, and Roy's hand with that same broken wail. He bucked once, twice again into Roy's hand, and then lay still. After a long silence, Edward sat up slowly. They stared at each other. "That was," he began, then shook his head as if he couldn't find the words for what he wanted to say. "Thanks." Roy nodded, not trusting himself to speak after that display. He stood up from where he'd been kneeling and ran a hand over Ed's hair, smiling as the blonde closed his eyes for just an instant.
"You enjoyed that then, I take it."
Yeah. Edward said, eyes cast down to the ground. His reticence was so at odds with this wanton picture, him sitting naked on the couch and covered in his own cum, that Roy almost laughed. Roy's own hard-on was so painful, though, that he almost wanted to do the opposite. It stuck out of his pants insistently, and he ignored it with a firm determination.
"Your automail doesn't hurt anymore?" Roy asked,
stroking Ed's hair again.
"I thought the pain lasted longer than that."
"Aches some, but you'd be surprised what a good dose of endorphins and adrenaline can do for pain," Ed replied, working his arm back and forth, stretching it like he would have if it had been made of flesh. It clicked as it moved, and in the heavy quiet, Roy could hear the otherwise imperceptible sounds of pumps and gears every time the younger man moved. Roy didn't miss the wince as Ed moved his arm at a particular angle.
No, I wouldn't be surprised at all,
Roy said wryly.
Let me get you something to clean that up.
He turned towards the bathroom. But just before he could escape, Ed caught him by the hip and turned him around. Wait, he mumbled, red-faced. But you never... He flicked his eyes down to Roy's cock, then back up to the older man's face. Roy closed his eyes to block out the image in front of him, and to file it away for later use.
That's fine, Fullmetal,
Roy said, putting on the voice again.
I am in control of myself, unlike you.
Ed's expression flashed from embarrassment to anger. He stood up without warning and shoved Roy backwards, hard, onto the armchair next to the couch.
Don't give me that, Colonel. Now sit down and shut up, he snapped,
then knelt down in between Roy's spread legs and swallowed his cock down. Roy choked in a noise and fisted a hand in that blonde hair to pretend for a moment that he was the one in control of the situation.
Really, he wasn't even fooling himself, because that tongue, that knowing look in Ed's eye was making him come undone.
His breath came harder, and he couldn't help but thrust shallowly into that open mouth. Ed sucked gently, lips working around the head of his cock, and suddenly there was a tongue on his slit and a metal hand gently massaging his balls, and then... Fuck. He was coming, body jerking and neck straining, and his head fell back. Less than a minute from when that mouth had first touched him. The last thought he remembered having was that Edward Elric swallowed like a fucking pro. Roy had said that his bedroom was the perfect place to clean them up, with a king-sized bed and a bathroom right across the hall. And so Edward had followed him up, trying desperately to ignore the flutter in his stomach that he knew would be shame if he let it be. Instead of paying attention to it, he walked right into the room and flopped straight onto the bed so he could stare at the ceiling properly. It was a nice ceiling, and a nice room, too, with three long sets of burgundy drapes that presumably turned into windows in the daytime, and a bookcase that took up half of the other wall. The whole place exuded warm brown tones, from the heavy mahogany armoire to the golden brown carpeting. It all looked clean and quite tidy. Edward thought, uncharitably maybe, that Mustang probably hadn't done his own decorating, or his own cleaning, either. Ed draped an arm over his eyes so that he wouldn't have to see it, and could think in peace. Why hadn't there been any sex? He had kind of expected there to be sex. Maybe he had misread the whole thing. He had hoped. Hoped what? Well, Roy had seemed interested enough earlier, and after the last of these, he had been so nice, so kind and comforting, and he had made Ed feel like maybe he wasn't such a freak after all. Like, at least there was someone out there who was even more fucked up than he was. What had he wanted, after all? He heard Roy come in, a muffled tap of boots on carpet, and heard the man set something down on the wooden bedside table with a faint clink. The younger man did his best not to jump in surprise as he felt a damp cloth on his stomach, wiping away the mess with gentle strokes.
You're really pretty tough, you know,
Roy said, tone unreadable. Ed pulled his arm off of his face so he could look at the other man. His expression gave no extra clues. Damn him.
You patronizing me? Ed asked, mouth drawing down into a scowl.
Roy blinked, brow furrowing.
I wouldn't dream of it. No, I mean it,
he added in response to Ed's snort of disbelief.
Please, condescension has always been your default setting. I suspected for a long time that you got off on it, but now I know it's literal, Ed said, and looked away to glare at the ceiling instead.
You've been smug and superior since I was 12.
He heard Roy sigh and watched through the corner of his eye as the man picked up another clean cloth and continued his gentle wipe down of Ed's stomach. He took extra care around the raised pink cut that ran the length of Edward's side, from his stomach to his back, 15 stitches long. It had healed pretty well, all things considered. He didn't need that kind of delicate treatment. He didn't try to stop it, either, though.
That's true. I do get off on power, and you get off on being helpless.
That doesn't mean...
But you're probably the most stubborn, least submissive person I've ever met in my life, Edward Elric. And I have met a great deal of stubborn people.
Ed's brain met a wall then, and took a few seconds too long to recalibrate. But I thought... Mustang waited in silence as Ed thought it through. And the younger man realized suddenly that the other man wasn't even using the cloth anymore, just tracing his chest with bare fingers. Ed felt his skin prickle. "I thought you liked making me feel like shit," he said finally, watching Roy out of the corner of his eye. Ed's heart dropped into his stomach as he saw the look of pain, or maybe pity, that crossed Roy's face then. It was gone nearly quickly enough, covered up by a look of disbelief and a raised eyebrow. But Ed knew he'd seen it. A flicker of guilt cut him.
"Whatever would have given you that idea, Edward?"
Roy said, keeping his voice neutral.
"I thought that the whole point of the exercise was to fulfill your dangerous desires without getting you or anyone else hurt."
Ed's face twisted. "Don't you try to act like you were being altruistic." He spat and rolled over onto his side so he was facing away from the other man. Because anger was easy, comfortable. Besides, Ed knew. He knew that this was about Roy and what Roy wanted, and one of these days he was going to find out what the catch was. There was always a catch with Roy Mustang.
"No, I most certainly wasn't doing that," the general said, sounding entirely too pleased.
Ed snorted.
"Fucking admitted it, at least." "But Edward, look," Roy continued.
Ed didn't let himself respond to a sensation of a hand running through his hair, but watched Roy out of the corner of his eye.
"This?"
He gestured expansively, indicating the two of them, the bed, presumably their varying states of undress.
"Doesn't change anything between us. I won't treat you any differently than I did before," he said,
his other hand moving to rub Ed's back in faint circles.
"I'm not under the impression that you're my servant or my subordinate. Hell, you're not in the military at all now. I wouldn't even want you to call me sir unless we're in bed."
The blonde didn't say anything. Why would the man be saying this sort of shit? Maybe because he didn't want Ed to freak out and stop all of this? Or maybe, another part of his voice said, maybe Roy meant it. What if he did? What did Ed even want him to mean?
"We've been becoming friends since you left my command," the general said after a moment. "I don't intend to give that up. Do you?"
Edward laughed briefly. "Friends, is that what this is?" He paused. "Do friends do this sort of shit with each other?" There was a silence as those words sunk in for the both of them. Ed resolutely tried not to blush or in any way let his embarrassment or confusion be known. No, no, no. Edward fucking Elric, you shouldn't be saying these things. Do you want him to want you? Besides, he never would anyway. He can have anybody he damn well wants. Most of those people probably wouldn't let him tie them up or order them around. That's what you're for. Anybody else would probably be appalled. And why shouldn't they be? Relationships have to be between two people who think they're equals. After a moment, Roy responded.
"For each other, Edward, not to each other."
He stroked Ed's hair again, and the blonde hated how nice it felt.
"I'm not entirely sure what you mean, though. I don't know if you mean we can't be friends if we do this, which is bullshit, or if we should be more than friends."
His voice sounded entirely too rational, too soothing. Ed didn't try to respond, which was good because Roy didn't give him a chance to.
"But I just want to make it clear that I don't expect anything from you. And you don't need to feel obligated to make this into anything just because we're engaging in this kind of play. All I'm saying is you shouldn't rush into anything. I know that's a lot to ask from you, he added with a short laugh. Rushing into things is almost your defining characteristic. But this doesn't have to be anything other than a mutual fulfillment of needs. You don't have to feel like you ought to do anything.
Ed laughed again, and it wasn't a happy sound. I get it. So I'm good enough for you to hit, but not even good enough to fuck, he said, feeling suddenly very tired. He sat up, once again really aware of his nakedness. How thin he was, how pale. He heard Mustang make a choked noise, like he was trying to figure out what to say. Why give him time? Ed swung his legs over the side of the bed and made to get up.
Ed, you have it wrong, Roy finally said, putting a hand on Ed's shoulder as his feet met the ground. That's not what I meant at all. First of all, I would never hit you unless you wanted me to. You'd never let me anyway.
Damn straight. You'd get a broken nose at the very least, Ed said, shaking the hand off his shoulder and standing up, stepping over to his folded boxers and sliding them on, followed by the leathered pants that lay next to them.
I believe it, Roy said with some amusement,
then sobered quickly.
As for the last part, I had no idea you were even interested.
The look on his face was probably confusion. Maybe surprise. Or maybe he was faking it. Ed had never been particularly good at telling the difference.
Me down on all fours for you wasn't a clue?
Ed said with a weak laugh. Listen, thanks for a good time. I'm out of here. He took a step towards the door, but before he could go far, a hand shot out and caught him around the waist. He didn't know what he wanted, but he knew what he didn't want. He didn't want to be the general's play toy, his object, his possession. He wanted to be someone the man respected. Someone who was worth something. Like hell was he ever going to get that from Mustang, though. He yanked his arm out from the other's grip and strode towards the door.
Full Metal,
Roy said from behind him, in that voice, the one that made Ed shiver and have to fight to keep his rational mind present.
Come back here. We're not done yet.
Ed turned around, wondering why he was still doing this. Why in hell his body wouldn't obey when his mind was so determined. I thought you weren't going to treat me any differently. So much for that, he spat out, glaring daggers at the other man. Slowly, something in the general's posture shifted, sagged, and in a moment he looked as tired as Ed felt.
You're free to leave if you don't want to hear what I have to say, Roy said, sighing, all traces of that commanding power gone.
Ed stood there still, tensed, halfway between the bed and the door.
I'm listening. Say it fast.
Look, Full Metal. Edward, I'm not going to lie and say I have any particular plans for the future, except that I want to do this again. Soon. As soon as we can manage. Sooner, even. I hope that clears that part up,
he said. Ed stared mutely.
If your question is whether or not I still respect you after this, well, I would be very grateful if you didn't rub what I'm about to say in my face. But let me say aloud, for once in my life, I respect you almost more than any other man I've ever met,
said Roy Mustang, sitting on the edge of his bed in his military uniform with a small smile, looking, of all things, damn it, sincere. Ed stood there, frozen in place. The other man watched him, not a goddamn hair out of place. And Edward was sure he'd look like a fucking mess. And he was having this conversation with his pants unbuttoned and without a shirt on. This was one of those times when he really hated Roy Mustang. Or at least, he wanted to. But what could Ed summon up to defend against that kind of praise? He had never gotten praise like that from the man in his goddamn life, except during... It got even harder to hate the man when Ed's stomach lurched into his feet as he heard.
And if the question is about my willingness to fuck you, then rest assured I would be happy. No, thrilled to provide you with that service, Roy said.
And that was it. Ed's world was coming down around his ears. Maybe just a bit of him wanted to believe, needed to believe that Roy really wanted him. He felt a certain lightness draw in around him then. Or maybe that was his mind calling it quits and disassociating itself from the physical realm. That had to have been it. Because Ed heard himself ask, "And what if I wanted to fuck you?" He was determined not to blush, so he didn't let himself look away. He just stood there, hands clenched down by his sides, and stared at the other man. Did he even want to have sex with the general? Apparently so. If he was going to do that, though, it was damn well going to mean something. Edward refused to be a throwaway fuck toy. He wasn't a throwaway kind of person. Roy shrugged in response.
"In that case, I'm sure something could be arranged," he said, voice carefully neutral.
Then Ed was 2 inches away from the other man's face, feeling a predator's satisfaction at the look of surprise he saw there. "All right, then. Prove it to me." He paused to draw a long breath. "Prove it all to me," he said, then leaned in to capture Roy's mouth. It was a hard press of lips, without any grace or subtlety. But subtlety had never been his strong suit, and Edward was sure he was at least as surprised as Roy was that they were kissing now for the first time. "Oh. Shit." With that, Edward shot out into the hallway, leaving a swinging door and a shell-shocked Major General behind him. By the time the man's brain came back, Ed planned to be long gone, off to find someplace he could hide, someplace he could think, someplace he could bide his time and carefully rearrange his world.